We're looking in the book of John this morning in chapter number 3, and we understand that this is that beautiful chapter about a man, a Pharisee, by the name of Nicodemus. And that Pharisee, he came to Jesus by night because he was ashamed to be seen by the other Pharisees that he was coming to talk to Jesus. And Jesus said to him in verse number 3, he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus didn't understand that. Jesus went on to say, "Except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Father, I pray now, as we enter into a time of preaching, that you might touch us of your Spirit, by your power, by your might. And Father, I pray, Lord, there's nothing good in me except you. And Lord, I know in my ability, in my experience, I'll not be able to stand. But Lord, I pray by the very touch of the Holy Ghost, by the breath of Christ, help us to preach. Lord, I pray you'd open our eyes. Help us today. Maybe there's someone here that needs to hear about salvation. God, I pray you'd save them today. God, I thank you for the souls that you've saved this week and last week as well. God, I do pray for the furtherance of the moving of the Spirit of God. And Father, there are many needs here today. God, I all over this congregation, again, as I look and just view the congregation, I see prayer request after prayer request after prayer request. Oh, God, would you answer? Would you help us, Lord, we pray? In Jesus' name, amen. I want to study verses 14 and 15 where Jesus was reminding Nicodemus of an Old Testament happening about Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. And Jesus said, as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I want to study that this morning back in Numbers chapter 21, what Jesus was referencing to Moses lifting up that serpent in the wilderness. What is he speaking of? How did those things happen? In the book of Numbers chapter number 21, we want to pick up the story in verse number 4. "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, 'Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread.' And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' and Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. God being our helper, this is our thought this morning. Look and live. Israel has spent 38 years wandering in the wilderness because of disobedience to God. Yet God took care of their every need. He put the shoes on their feet. He fed them with manna from above. He fed them and provided for them every step of the way. And I want you to see in verses 4 and 5 their sinful rebellion. First of all, they reviled God's person. All they did for 38 years was murmur and complain. All they knew to do, and they did it well, was gripe. I told somebody here a while back, the best thing the church could fast from is from griping. We'd have revival if you would fast for 24 hours from griping. We would be a different society. Yea, we'd be a different church if we'd stop our moaning and groaning. Look back with me while we're close here in chapter 11, verse number 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. Chapter number 14, verse number 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Chapter 16, verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. Chapter 17, and verse number 12. And the children of Israel spake unto Moses, saying, behold, we die, we perish, we perish. In other words, all they've done is murmured and complained year after year, day after day. That's all you get is the gripe and complaint department. And now, according to Numbers chapter 20 and in verse number 5, the people spake against God. Up to this point, they had been speaking about their leaders, about Moses and about Aaron, and God heard it. But now they have the arrogance and the audacity to speak against God himself. God has fed them. God has provided for them. When they were in the land of Egypt serving as slaves, it was God that came by and lifted them out of that predicament. It's been God that took care of their every step, every way, and now they murmur against God. They are reviling God's person. Second of all, they have rejected God's prophet. Not only did they speak against God, but they spoke against Moses. I'll say this, if a man rejects God, he'll reject God's man. Jesus said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Thirdly, they repudiated God's promise. Look here. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? What was God's promise? He would lead them safely to the promised land. And what do they murmur and complain? We're going to die. It'd been better if we'd have never left Egypt. You see, what they're saying to God is, we don't believe you, God. Are you with me? They have repudiated God's promise. Preacher Darren, them's awful strong words. I don't think doubt is to repudiating God's promise. Hey, every time we doubt, we're calling God a liar. What you're saying is, God, I don't believe you're really going to take us to the promised land. Now, Preacher Darren, them's some pretty strong words. Listen this. 1 John 5:10, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Let God be true, and every man a liar. That's the verses, amen. That's the word of God. Not only did they repudiate God's promise, but listen to this, fourthly, they have renounced God's provision. They said, for there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. You see, the bread God's been sending them is manna. It's angel food sent from heaven. And they said, we are sick and tired of the blessings of God. We are sick and tired of that preacher mounting that pulpit and preaching to us the unadulterated, infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of God. We're tired of that. We want someone to preach to us smooth things. We're tired of them old blood songs. We're tired of that. We're tired of the blessings of God. Let me tell you something. There's power in the old paths. There's power in the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God has given them everything to keep them happy and holy. Instead of having the good things of God with a sweet smell and savor, they wanted the sourness of the things of the world and their sinful rebellion in the camp. Now, I promise you, God will give you an answer if you're going to complain about God's man or about God himself or God's blessings. He will give you an answer. That's my second point. Number two, you're going to suffer results. What are the results they suffered? Verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. God is going to send his judgment upon the people because of their rebellion. He's heard it. He's tired of it. I want to say, first of all, those serpents were despised. What do you mean, Preacher Darren? Well, the serpent always represents sin. You remember who it was crept into the Garden of Eden? It was the beautiful serpent, but it was the devil got into that serpent that deceived Eve. And the serpent is always a symbol of sin. So if they're going to be filled with sinful rebellion from their mouths and from their hearts, God says, if that's what you want, I'll send you sin in the camp. And now here comes the fiery serpents. God sent those fiery serpents. They want to rebel. The serpent is a symbol of rebellion. They want to sin. The serpent is a symbol of sin. They got what they're asking for. He gives it to them. And they despise what they were asking for. Not only were these serpents despised, but they're dreadful. The Bible calls them fiery serpents. Listen to this. They're called fiery because of the intense pain that they inflict. They're Mediterranean vipers, probably. Listen to what a Mediterranean viper. Here's his symptoms. First of all, when he bites you, he injects venom into your system, and it causes fiery pain at the very site of the bite. Then swelling begins, and then discolorization comes from where you were bit, and you're going to get red and blue and purple as the venom now has got into your bloodstream. Nausea comes, severe vomiting, excruciating stomach pain, all kinds of cramping. You begin to experience extreme thirst. Your liver and your kidneys are now damaged because they're filtering toxins, and now you've got extreme pain. Diarrhea sets in. You begin to hemorrhage in the form of nosebleeds, bleeding from the eyes, bleeding from the mouths, and the venom is destroying your blood cells, destroying the capillaries that are close to the surface, and most victims bleed to death internally. And you don't die quick. Usually, the symptoms take 2 to 3 days to kill you. I want to say this, that sin will bring suffering. Sin will bring forth death in the long run. God's trying to tell us here, if you're going to sin, suffering follows sin. I want you to know this too. Not only were those snakes despised and those snakes were dreadful, but they were deadful. The Bible says in verse 6, and much people of Israel died after they had been bitten by those snakes. And that's just like sin, isn't it? At first, sin will thrill you. And then it will kill you. You think you can play with it and you can quit anytime you want, but you'll find out it'll get a hold in your life that you cannot control by yourself. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 18, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Romans 6, 23, the wage of sin is death. Hey, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's what James said. So you got to understand something this morning. Now, these fiery serpents, they become fatal serpents. You realize that every sinner has a debt. Jesus Christ came to pay that debt. The Bible would teach us that if you have a debt, You're supposed to pay it. And if you can't pay your debt, you'll be cast into severe punishment. You know what that punishment is, according to Scripture? Hellfire. But if you'll accept Jesus' payment for our sin, amen, hey, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Those serpents were deadly. Understand, the situation's desperate. Much people of Israel died. Here they are, 2 million people camped out in the wilderness in about 12 square miles. There's no hospitals. And even if there were, the hospital can't handle 2 million people. There is no anti-venom available. There's no medicine. There's no pills. There's no potions. And even if there was, it would not be enough to help 2 million people. I'm telling you what, ma'am, your children were bitten. Sir, your wife has been bitten. She's dying. So many of you got prayer requests this morning. And they're just dear to our hearts and our souls. Imagine those people, how desperate the situation was when their little boys and their little girl were viper bit and were laying there dying. And they realize that the reason this happened was because we murmured and complained against God. And we didn't just do it once. Our whole lives for 38 years has been filled with this venom, this poison, this bitterness within our soul. It's interesting. That poison, that venom that was within their soul is now biting them, killing them, taking their families. I want to say this morning, the situation's desperate, but as long as God's on the throne, it's not hopeless. Thirdly, the people began seeking refuge. Verse 7. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. You understand, they realize the bite of the serpent is because of their own sin. The first thing for a sinner that you need to recognize is there needs to be conviction. You need to know that you need to be saved. The Holy Ghost is the only one that convicts you. He can convict the soul, amen, of man. These people realize we have sinned. Hey, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Until you get to the point that you're willing to say, I have sinned, you'll never get saved. There's conviction. Not only is there conviction, but there's confession. We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. They began to confess their sins specifically. I remember that time that feller kept going to the altar and said, oh God, get the cobwebs out of my mind. The cobwebs of sin. Take them away, Lord. Oh, I've got more cobwebs, Lord. Get rid of the cobwebs. I mean, every single service, people could hear him saying, oh, God, get rid of the cobwebs of sin. And finally, somebody started praying beside him and said, oh, God, kill the spider. There must be a confession of our sin to the Lord. Conviction is always followed by confession. Then look at their contrition. They said, pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. What'd Moses do? He didn't say, bless God, you're getting what you deserve. He's not a Baptist preacher. My Bible says he's the meekest man on the face of the earth. And he began to pray for those very people that spoke against him, that murmured against him, that complained against him. I always found it interesting that people that would mistreat my pastor as I was growing up, I would hear them talk about him and run him down. And within the week, I would literally hear them call him and say, we've got a mercy preacher. Could you come? Would you pray for us? The very one they were running down was the very one that they called on when they were in trouble. That's amazing how that all works out, ain't it? Hey, I want you to know they began to seek refuge and Moses began to pray for them. Number four, we're going to see a saving remedy. Look what the scripture says. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. I want you to see in that the provision of God. Who came up with the plan of salvation? Was it Moses? Was it Aaron? Was it an Israelite? Was it a Baptist? Was it a Methodist? Was it a Presbyterian? Was it a Catholic? No! It was the Lord that gave the plan of salvation. Hey, the divine remedy is always the plan of God. God's plan of salvation never changes. He came up with the plan. Hey, man, I like God's provisions, don't you? He says, I want you to take a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And we know, according to verse 9, that serpent was made out of brass. The serpent, are you with me, represents sin. But this serpent that was going to be set upon the pole, this serpent was made out of brass. And this serpent looked like the other serpents, but this serpent doesn't have any venom. It doesn't have any poison. It doesn't have any sin. This serpent is made of brass, which represents judgment. This brazen serpent represents Jesus. He took upon the form of man, yet without sin. Hey, because he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. I want you to look at the power of grace. The Bible says, it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Hey, I want to say that that was infallible. Preacher Darren, what does that mean? It means that everybody who looked, lived. They didn't just feel better. They didn't just look and feel better. They lived. Amen. There was a healing. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. It was individual. You have to look for yourself. You can't stand up and say, here, I'm going to do it for so-and-so. I appreciate your nobility. I appreciate your compassion. I appreciate your mercy. I appreciate your burden. But you can't do it for somebody else. The one that's bitten has to be the one that looks. And I want to submit to you this morning, all have been bitten. All have sinned. Amen. Those fiery serpents were going to kill the whole crowd. They were every single one going to die out. And individually, they had to look. And let me tell you what else. It was instantaneous. The very moment you looked, you lived. You see, looking is to the eyes what faith is to the heart. They've sought refuge. God has sent to them a divine remedy. Everyone that looked, lived. Hear the sovereign record of God. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Can you imagine the desperate situation in Israel? Just imagine your child being bitten today. You imagine our youngins getting bit by a viper. You imagine my phone ringing, Preacher Darren, I want to tell you that Morgan's got bit by a viper. I don't know what we're going to do. Can you get over here quick? Can you pray for us? I can pray, but it's up to God to heal. There you are in your tent. I mean, you're wiping the sweat off their forehead, the fever, the pain. Can you imagine them screaming? Well, I believe with all my heart, every family was affected by this plague. Every family. Moses began to pray, oh God, God, would you take away these serpents? Would you take them away, Lord? All these are going to die. They're a lost cause. But God, before all the rest of them gets bit, would you take away the serpents? God said, Moses, get up. I've got a plan. You're not going to lose all them. They can be saved, though they're already bitten. Lord, how's that going to happen? I want you to put a brazen serpent upon a pole. And it'll be that everybody that looks to it by faith will live. But that don't make no sense. I mean, that's got to appeal to my intellect. How's that going to help me? I got to have some pills. I got to have some antivenom. I got to have some potions. I mean, how's that going to? That's just what God said. And so the cry goes out. Hear ye, God has a plan. Everyone that is bitten, if he or she will look to the brazen serpent upon the pole, he or she will live. Whoop. what's helping me. Woo! Can you imagine? Maybe those little boys come running through saying, hey, look at Liv, and some old man sitting there says, I've been bit worse than you. There's no way that's going to help me. I ain't looking. It doesn't appeal to my intellect. It doesn't appeal to my reason. I don't like this old-fashioned stuff. In fact, to tell you the truth, I kind of like snakes. I play with them all the time. I'm hanging on to him, and he's been hanging on to me. That's pretty sure. And I'm not just going to let things go in my life. Well, you know what's going to happen to you, sir? You're going to die in your sin. And you're going to sit there and say, why didn't God spare me like he spared everybody else? Because you would not look and live. See, it's a whosoever will. All you've got to do is look by faith. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believeth in him, amen, he'd save their lives. And not just give them more physical life, but eternal life. Thought about the thief on the cross. He was dying in his sin. He looked and lived, didn't he? He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Can you just imagine taking your child, them in bad shape, and you heard the message, look and live, look and live. And you brought your child, and I'm telling you, they're within their last few seconds of a last breath, and you bring them, look, honey. Their eyes are closed. Please wake up, honey. Look, honey. Their eyes are, please, honey, would you look and live? Mama, I can't see it. You know what you're going to do? Get a little closer. Mama, I can't see it. What, you going to give up? No. Look, honey. Oh, Mama, I see it, Mama. Mama, I'm better now. Tender embrace. Thank you, Mama, for telling me about a salvation's plan. Thank you, Mama, for getting me around a place. Then tell me the old message. Look and live, Mama. Thank you so much. I say hallelujah this morning, church. Hallelujah.